The Fed looks to scale things back.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke heads to Capitol Hill this morning. He talks to lawmakers a lot, but this time, instead of looking back at the financial crisis, he'll be looking forward to an exit strategy. He's going to be briefing lawmakers on how the Fed plans to end its policy of cheap and easy lending for banks. Marketplace's Brett Neely is with us from our Washington studio this morning with the latest. Good morning, Brett.
Good morning, Steve.
Why does the Fed even need an exit strategy?
Well, it's important to remember what we're exiting from. When credit markets started to freeze at the peak of the crisis, the Fed dumped an unprecedented amount of money into the financial system. Plus, interest rates have been effectively zero for more than a year, though Bernanke says rates will rise as the economy recovers. If Bernanke and the Fed exit too fast, banks could stop lending again. Too slow, we could have high inflation or high unemployment.
Now, Bernanke's approach, Brett, has gotten a lot of criticism from fellow economists, and some of his critics are also testifying today. What are they going to say?
The critics are all over the place. One criticism of Bernanke's exit strategy is that it's too vague and needs clearer benchmarks for what the Fed's going to do at different stages. Another argument that most Americans can relate to is that the Fed will prioritize fighting inflation over creating jobs. So it could raise rates before the jobless rate falls more, and that would stop the job market recovery cold, which is an exit strategy no one wants to see.
Marketplace's Brett Neely in Washington. Brett, thanks.
Thank you.
The White House, fresh off of a sprint toward health care reform, is prepping for another marathon, financial regulations. A couple of Democrats, Senate Banking Committee Chair Christopher Dodd and House Financial Services Committee Chairman Barney Frank, met with President Obama yesterday. They're leading the effort to pass the bank reforms in Congress. But is there enough momentum or even any will for that? Matthew Bishop is U.S. business editor for The Economist and co-author of The Road from Ruin. Welcome to the program.
Great to be with you.
Are we able to recover from this financial crisis, do you think, or is this sort of a new normal?
We're not going to recover from this crisis unless we get real leadership and real policy change. And my worry is at the moment that there isn't that leadership, there isn't that vision, and there's not the willingness to take the tough decisions. And so there's a real danger that we're going to just drift when we could be getting ourselves back on track.
If you look at the stock market right now in this country, it's looking a lot better than it was, say, a year, year and a half ago. What's the reality there?
So one of the things we say in the book is that there has been some learning from history, that our policymakers did look back at the Great Depression and they realized that they had to intervene and stop the banking system collapsing. The trouble is that that's an emergency response. That works. That's like sort of giving someone life support in the hospital. And To be sustainable, you have to actually get people out of the emergency ward and into rehab. And the economy is still stuck, I think, in the emergency ward, and there's no real policies out there to get it back on its feet again. And so my worry is that the government policy of pumping up the economy can only last so long.
What can the United States learn from other economies around the world that are doing a lot better?
Well, I think America can learn a lot from looking at Japan in the 1990s, where policymakers and business leaders together refused to acknowledge that they had to change. I think America is different in some ways, but I think there's a real chance that we just don't get back on the path of growth because the politicians and the business leaders don't take the hard decisions necessary. I mean, I think the world actually wants America to get back to the things it does best, which is to be innovative and productive, because actually the rest of the world for 25 years has been looking to America for leadership, and the sooner it does get back on its feet, the better.
Matthew Bishop is U.S. business editor and New York bureau chief for The Economist magazine. He co-authored the book The Road from Ruin. Mr. Bishop, thank you.
Thank you.
Let's check numbers. Shares in Europe are higher at the moment, about 0.5%. That's despite European debt keeping investors elsewhere cool to much buying. In Asia, markets closed mostly mixed. Wall Street yesterday, shares fell more than 0.5%. The Dow was off 52 points at 10,836.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing, online surveys, and event marketing. ConstantContact.com. by Monsanto, committed to sustainable agriculture and creating hybrid and biotech seeds designed to increase crop yields and conserve natural resources. More at producemoreconservemore.com. And by MassMutual, a mutual life insurance company owned by its members and policyholders. Learn more at massmutual.com/mutuality.
Honeybee keepers in this country are reporting a crisis, and it seems to be getting worse. Some beekeepers are reporting extreme losses this year, and a new study out today suggests pesticides may play a bigger role than previously thought. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Sarah Gardner reports.
For several years now, a massive honeybee die-off has puzzled U.S. experts. They still don't know exactly what's causing it. Scientists meeting today in San Francisco hear results of a new Penn State study showing, quote, unprecedented levels of pesticides in pollen and hives across the U.S. Bee expert Eric Musson at the University of California, Davis, says certain combinations of pesticides may be helping to kill off bees already weakened by disease.
Right now, we're more or less saying it's sort of like the movie The Perfect Storm, where a number of stresses are all sort of ganging up at once, and finally the bees are just giving in.
Honeybees pollinate about a third of our food crops. That's almost $15 billion worth of U.S. fruits and vegetables. An informal survey by the USDA found one-third of commercial bee brokers had a hard time finding enough beehives to pollinate California's almond trees, the largest almond crop in the world. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
And finally, the British government's been tackling its own health care reform, promising to redesign patient gowns in hospitals by next year. It's an effort to make the sick feel better about their appearance, more confident. Several clothing companies are putting up their design recommendations for the change. One, thankfully, eliminates the embarrassing open back. Another entry has a pouch for a cell phone. Presumably, patients will need those phones to complain to someone about the food. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. Check us out online at marketplace.org and share your thoughts with us there. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.